of the gospel as good news. What was discussed then is, why is it that the gospel does not always come over as good news? Why, for so many men and women, they are not fazed by hearing that Jesus Christ died at Calvary for their sin? It doesn't affect them one way or the other. Why, on the other hand, that for some men and women, the good news reached them as bad news? What is the reason for that? Let us hear the passage of Luke chapter 2 that was read, verse 10 and 11. Luke chapter 2.
And the angel said unto them,
Fear not. Fear not.
For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy.
I bring you good tidings that should bring to you great joy.
Which shall be to all people.
And it will not be to just one sector or to just some. This good news will be good news to all people. So I ask the question still, why is it that the gospel sometimes comes over not as good news as it was intended by God, but as bad news? Up front, one, the reason for that, and we'll be going in more detail in the lesson, is that sometimes the way God's good news is presented, that is, sometimes those of us who present the good news, sometimes it does not come over. We do not present it in a way that men see it as good news. That's one of the reasons. The second reason the good news comes over as bad news is sometimes the attitude and the disposition of the hearer. That is, men and women who hear the good news, when they should rejoice, they are mad with what they hear. You may have in a community 100,000 people, and when it is said that police and soldiers are in the area, you may have 60% of that community feel good, because there was some crime in the area and they're glad to hear of the police and soldier. You may have another 40% who feel mad and vexed where the police are doing. Well, that's the way some people, that's why sometimes God's good news come over as bad news. The attitude and the disposition of those, some of those who hear it. But there's a third reason why the gospel comes over not sometime as good news. And that is the nature of the gospel. The composition of the gospel. In fact, let us the word gospel comes from an Anglo-Saxon word, Old English word. And the Old English word is God spelled. Common G, G-O-D-S-P-E-L. The word in Old English, as we understand it now, to mean good tidings are good news. That is the concept that the word carry in Old English, Anglo-Saxon. In the Greek, from where the word was translated into English, the word means good message. I repeat, good message. In the New Testament, the word gospel or good news is always used with a special stress referring to the promise of salvation that the Almighty God promised to humanity. Good news. And it is good news that the Almighty God has come to help man, not simply in his sinful condition, but the consequences which sin brings. Man needs help. Keep in mind that we sin against God. The Bible tells us a truth, and that is, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's not just some. But Mr. Mitchell, I don't feel I am a sinner. I'm kind, I'm good, I'm decent, I do not interfere with people. And you are still a sinner. Our goodness do not erase our sin. Our goodness is not righteousness. Righteousness is a prerogative of the Almighty God. It matters not what you and I do. Now, you and I can do some things to please God. And on that basis, God will pass righteousness unto us through Jesus Christ. But there is nothing you and I. But Mr. Mitchell, you know I will give my life for Christ. You would still die as a sinner. Think about it. When you decide that you love Jesus Christ so much that you die for him, until you obey the gospel of Christ, whatever you do means nothing. All have sinned and come short of the glory of the Almighty God. It is for this reason every man need and should rejoice that the Almighty God has sent help to us. Are we all there? Man's doom condition is part of what makes the good news good news. Man is doomed for destruction and misery and unhappiness. We live this life and we live our own life. We forget that there is a God and that we are obligated to him. He created us for his own purpose. After the Almighty God created this beautiful, vast universe, he decided to make man the crown of his creation. But he did it, he made us, we are so composed as to be able to respond to the Almighty God in ways that none of his lower creation is able to do. The great whale in the sea, the elephant, the strong lion, and all of these, they cannot respond to the love of God, the way God makes man to respond to his love. We were specially created. And we are made to be able to respond to God's love and to respond to him with love and obedience. But many of us live our lives as if we create ourselves. And living our lives means that God is not part of our equation. Self is. All we do surrounds self. That of itself is sinful. But somebody said, Mr. Mitchell, you talk about sin. I don't believe in that. And this business, Mr. Mitchell, that we're going to stand in judgment and be judged one day. I've been hearing about that. And my father hear about that. And my grandfather and great-grandfather heard about that. You know, I don't really believe in that. I ask you a question. What does your belief have to do with God's truth? Meaning, you think that your disbelief or rejection of God's truth going to change God's truth? You know, the Bible asks that very same question. In the book of Romans, I think it is chapter 3 and verse 3. Let us hear it. Romans 3 and verse 3.
For what if some did not believe?
Ask it again, brother.
For what if some did not believe?
Wait, the inspired apostle of Christ, Paul, is anticipating the disbelief, the rejection of God's truth that has always existed in every age, and it exists in our time. You come telling men and women that the coming of Jesus Christ, sent by God to die on Calvary's cross. Why Christ? He was the only one, sinless, perfect, that was able to defeat Satan and bring us salvation. God sent him to give his life for our sin. Wait. Christmas is about Christ. Huh? Christmas is about Jesus Christ, the inevitable. That is good news. But God knew that some people going to reject him. So, what he said there, brother?
For what if some did not
believe? What if some did not believe? Thank you, Paul, for posing, or rather anticipating, the unbelief, the disbelief, the lack of faith of men and women. Read on.
Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect?
You get the point. That has been my thing for a long time. That men think that when they brush God's truth one side, when you tell them that they are sinners, they need to turn to the Almighty God, and when they brush that one side and laugh at it, they think it will change what is coming upon them in the future. It does not. Read on a little more now.
God forbid ye.
God forbid, which means don't ever think that your unbelief will affect the truth of God. Huh? Wait. You want an illustration? A relevant and timely and good one. Most of the people dying of COVID today are the people who do not believe. Are we there? You did it? That's right. Men and women, you know, I saw a chart. I'm talking of people who think when they reject truth. I saw a chart just within the past few days where the news person was pointing out that, yes, some people who have taken the vaccination, a few of them has been affected by the COVID. So they put the chart like this. They start here, and that chart is like that. Those who have been vaccinated, But then he has another chart, those who have not been vaccinated. The amount that have been affected and died. You see how high a discharge is? The point is, it's just an illustration that you or I do not believe in the vaccine and we do not believe the COVID is real. It's still infecting people, whether you believe or not. The COVID do not come and say, do you believe I'm real? And if you say, no, I don't believe, it run away. Well, it's the same way with God's truth. Your disbelief or my disbelief does not in any way affect God's truth, but it affects you. Are we all there? Good news, good message, good tidings. That is in reference to our peace here with God. Our peace with each other. And forgiveness and fellowship with the Almighty God. And of course, our eternal peace. Did you know that there can be no true peace when the will of God is opposed? For any man or woman, it matters not what you possess here. There can be no true peace when you live a life where the will and the purpose of the Almighty God is opposed. First, you must be mindful that there are many sides or many parts to the gospel or to Christ's good news. This is one of the reasons sometimes the gospel, which was meant primarily to be good news from God to man, because of the composition of the gospel, it sometimes comes over as good as bad news. And as I listed three reasons, and one of the reasons is how the gospel is some of its parts. It comes over not as good news. Now, segment of the gospel, run to the book of St. John chapter 6 and verse 58, 60 and 66. We're looking on some of the sides, some of the parts to the gospel. Read St. John chapter 6, 58, 60, 66. Let us hear it.
This is that bread which came down from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Not as their fathers did eat manna and are dead.
Mm-hmm.
He that eateth of this bread shall live forever.
Christ said, he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Well, Jesus Christ was using what we call metaphor. He was using bread, referring to himself. Eat here is referring to our belief in him. That was verse 60, 58. Let us hear verse 60.
Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying.
Wait, brother, you get the point? Many of the Jews in that audience who heard him said, this is a hard saying. Who can
hear it?
Hear it. That means who can accept that? Don't move from the passage. What is the point, Brother Mitchell? Here is good news given to an audience in Christ's time, but it did not come over to them as good news, and that is due to the composition of the gospel. That is, you will have to accept the fact the pivotal part that Jesus Christ played in God's good news for man. You will have to accept that you need Jesus Christ as Lord, as Savior. Verse 60, finish.
When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said
when
unto
Christ
them,
knew that his disciples murmured at him. Step down now to, I think, 66.
And he, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him.
You hear that? Wait, everybody hear that? They stopped following Christ. And one of the reasons was Christ did not come to them with hatred and bitterness. He just told them that they have to eat his flesh, which in reference means they have to accept him. They have to accept the pivotal important part that he, as the Son of God, Lord and Savior, going to be playing in their lives if they are going to get forgiveness. Wait. It would have been more appropriate for them to, when he's finished talking, go to him and say, what do you mean? We'll have to eat your flesh. They didn't take that route. They decided that what they heard was incompatible with what they want. So they did not accept the truth that Christ shared with them. Brothers and sisters, that the doctor, are we all there? That the doctor diagnose your disease or my disease and care enough to cure that disease. The doctor does not only diagnose the disease, detect what is going on in your life that make you feel that you want to die now or you're going to die. The doctor also has the cure. Wait. That he has or she have the cure, it does not mean the medicine going to always taste nice. Application. That the coming of Jesus Christ is good news does not necessarily mean that the condition to accept that good news will always be nice to you. That Christ is going to give his life for your sin, that's God's grace, means that there are some step or some condition that you must submit to. That some of those conditions may not look to you to be that important. But God didn't promise you that his condition will look to you important. Just the same with the doctor. That the cure is a reality. That does not mean the medicine will always be palatable to the pharmacist's attempt. The pharmacist's attempt to add a little sugar, to add a little honey to the medicine, that does not help. Application. The church leaders want to tone down the truth of the gospel. The church and denomination wants to make the gospel of Jesus Christ acceptable and to contaminate the gospel with man's tradition. That does not help you or me. Because what you are getting is the contaminated gospel. And only the pure teachings of Jesus Christ going to do for us what needs done. Are we all there? The mere fact that there is a cure, and that a cure is available to you, that is good news. You should hurriedly run to benefit from that good news. As I've also said, that your attitude and thinking may also hinder you from seeing the very good and great news that the gospel is. We have just read in the book of St. John . Let us look on a few parts to the gospel that is heaven's good news. In heaven's good news, we always, in fact, we need to do this more often. We need to do this more often. And that is one. There are facts to the gospel. There are commands to the gospel. And there are promises to the gospel. Now, may I? Here's the problem that the world has. Many men and women want to run to the promises of the gospel. What does this involve, Brother Mitchell? It involves fellowshipping, having fellowship with God. It involves the Almighty God accepting you spiritually as His child. It involves the forgiveness of sin. I'm just listing a few of the promises of the gospel. It involves effective prayers. Wait. Mr. Mitchell, what does that mean? That means when you become a part of God's kingdom, you can freely go to God in prayer when you want, where you want, and under whatever situation you want. As great as the Almighty God is, because you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, through Him, you can go and talk to God as you want. Now, that's an awesome privilege that takes us to the throne of grace where we want, when we want, and how we want. That's part of the promises of the gospel. But Brother Mitchell, I can pray when I want, and I'm not a church member, I'm not a Christian. Well, I don't know about church member, but for your prayer to be effective, you must be in Christ. That is, you must be a Christian. Wait, the Bible teaches that all over, from Old to New Testament. Are we all there? You must have a healthy relationship with God for your prayer to be effective. Oftentimes we quote St. John chapter 9, verse 31. Now we know that God heareth not sinner, but if any man be a worshiper of God, him he heareth. But my God, long before that, in the first chapter of Isaiah tell the Israelite, go and get yourself cleansed. He said, stop holding up your hand to God and stop offering sacrifice. God will not hear your prayer. Wait. That is the first chapter in Isaiah. Somewhere in Isaiah chapter 66 or 59, it's not that God's hands is not sharpened, that it cannot. Wait, Brother Mitchell, what is the situation? What is the context? in which that was said. If my memory serves me right, I think it is Isaiah 59, somewhere about there. What is the situation? The Israelites were praying to God and discovered that God was not responsive to their prayer. Are we all there? So they were wondering. Some of them began to wonder if God hand get weak. Some began to wonder, is God out of hearing? Is there ear impairment with God? God sent the prophet to tell them, no, I am not suffering from ear impairment. My hand is as strong as it has ever been. But he said, your sin and iniquity have separated between you and me. Then, in the book of Peter, we are told that in respect to wife and husband, are we all there? You know, did it? You are there? That in respect to wife and husband, that husband must treat wife good and wife treat husband good. Because Peter, this is New Testament, said that when we don't, that hinders what? Our prayer. What is the point? Prayer is one of the promises of the gospel. This is for men and women in Christ. But wait. The gospel also contains facts that must be believed. You must believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Somebody said, Mr. Mitchell, I believe in his death and burial. I don't believe in his resurrection. Well, you have a problem. You must accept that. Those are the facts of the gospel. What I'm showing is why sometimes the gospel comes off as bad news. Wait. This is where men and women have a lot of problem with the gospel. The commands of the gospel. May I? If a millionaire who some time ago met you by accident and you left an impression on that millionaire, and the millionaire, whatever it was, you did something that left an indelible impression, and the millionaire got sick and called his lawyer to make up his will, rich man and the millionaire left you, let me put it, at about 20 million U.S. No, that's real money. But the money is in Port Antonio. You have to take about 3 buses. Do you know what? Riding to Port Antonio for 20 million would be a joy ride. It would. You wouldn't be quarreling. Why do I have to go to Port Antonio for that 20 million? Why didn't just leave it in King? Would you? No, you wouldn't do that. My God, when you get on bus 1, it will be joy. When you get on bus 2, it will be joy. Brothers and sisters, hear, believe, repent, confess, should be joy ride. When you are told that you must believe in Christ, you must repent of your sin, you must confess Christ's name, and you must be baptized, all that you should run to them with joy. I ask about why the millionaire didn't leave it in Kingston. My God, that's foolish. You know, what is the point? Our attitude sometimes is what creates the problem. May I need to finish this lesson. And if I continue like this, I'll go on all day. Let's run to the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. Let me just show you something here. Let me move that $1 million because I don't want it, 20 million, I don't want it to distract from my lesson. Many of you did wishing somebody leave you that, so please listen to the lesson. Yes, let me to run to the book of Acts of the Apostle. Are you there? Let me show. In Acts of the Apostle, from verse 22 through 32, that passage is dealing with the facts of the gospel. Let me hear just a little of that. Acts chapter 2, from around verse 22.
Ye men of Israel.
Ye men of Israel.
Hear these words.
Hear these words.
Jesus of Nazareth.
Jesus of Nazareth.
A man approved of God.
A man approved of God.
Among you.
Among you.
By miracles and wonders.
By miracles and wonders.
And signs.
And signs. Wait, wait. This is referring to the divine manifestation done by Jesus Christ while he was on earth. Read on.
Which God did by him.
Which God did by him.
In the midst of you.
Read on.
And ye yourselves also know.
Mm-hmm.
Him being delivered by the...
Him delivered by the determinate counsel. That is the Jewish Sanhedrin council. Read on.
And foreknowledge of God.
Uh-huh.
Ye have taken and by wicked hands...
Wait. This is now dealing with the part of the facts of the gospel. You have taken Jesus Christ in a wicked way. And what?
Have crucified and slain him.
You crucify and kill him. Now, those verses are all dealing with the facts of the... I'm just showing you a sermon. The first gospel message that was ever preached. Where it contains the facts. Then look now to verse 38. For us to see the commands of the gospel.
Then Peter said to them. Repent.
Repent. Wait, that is a command.
And be baptized.
Get baptized. That is a command.
Every one of you.
Every one of you. Well, stop there, brother. Stop there. That's command. Then between verse 38 and 39. You have the promises. Read on, brother. Now pick up there.
For the promise is unto you.
Wait. 38 through 39. You need to pick up still in part of there. He said, the command is repent and get baptized.
Every one of you. In the name of Jesus Christ.
That is on the commands of Jesus Christ.
Wait.
What you're about to read, dear brother, now is part of the promises of the gospel. Read it now.
For the remission of sins.
Wait. Getting our sins remitted, removed, canceled is part of the promises of the gospel. Read on.
And ye shall receive
the gift. Having the Holy Ghost in our lives, as we go through life, about our business, but God also as a part of our lives. The Holy Ghost work with us day by day to understand the will of God better, to be more alert to what is wrong and what is right in life, and all of that. The Holy Ghost is given to every true child of God. When you become a Christian, the Bible's way. Wait. The Holy Ghost does not throw people down in the dirt. Amen. I'm about finishing, but I have to give you that little brata. I'm a kind person. The Holy Ghost does not make any man or woman act irrationally and out of control. When somebody come representing the Holy Ghost as making people pine away and they do not know what they are doing, that is not God's Holy Ghost. Don't make me refer to Corinthians. The Bible says, let all things be done decently and in order. It's the Holy Ghost revealed that to Paul. So what I'm saying, brothers and sisters, here is Acts of the Apostle chapter 2. Where the facts of the gospel their outline, the command of the gospel, and the promises of the gospel. Don't be a man or a woman. Everybody wants God to be there like a spare tire. You don't remember him when things are going good. But the moment you get a puncture in your life, do you know that's the way we treat spare tire? I've had spare tire in my car sometime for all 2 years. I don't remember that it is there. But then when I get a puncture, that's the first thing I think about. Don't treat God like that. Don't wait until something go wrong in your life before you see your need for Jesus Christ. May I Easter? No. Christmas, no. That's where we are. Remember too, Christian, that the way Christmas is celebrated is completely far from if there was a celebration. There's no celebration. What is celebrated in the Bible is Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and that is celebrated on the Lord's Day. The communion, the Lord's table, was instituted by Jesus Christ to celebrate Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Now, I love the Christmas time. As a little boy, my brother here, my younger brother Philip, him come in the modern time. But we pick up rat caught on. So Christmas means a lot to me. But I know that it is human tradition. And they're just living it up. Pleasure. You wouldn't celebrate Christmas like that. You'd want to be in the Lord's house, huh? You'd want to spend some time worshiping God, showing gratitude towards him for Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. So as we close, the gospel comes over a time as bad news, and that is due to three factors. One is the way it is presented sometimes. The other reason it comes over as bad news is the attitude and the disposition of the era. And the other area or reason it comes over as bad news is the composition of the gospel. That is the way the gospel is made up, where it contains facts. And sometimes even the facts of the gospel is not compatible with the way we in our sinful state see things. It comprises of command. And this is what usually gives the sin a problem. You are here this morning. You're not a child of God. And I'm telling you as a fact that Jesus Christ loves you. He cares for you. He wants to save you from eternal condemnation. That is true. But he said, in order for you to benefit from the blood of Christ, you must make a decision, and that you can do right now, to believe that Christ, when he died at Calvary over 2,000 years ago, it was for and because of your sin. You must believe that. As a result of that belief, you must repent of your sin. You must look into your life and see all the wrong things, the ungodly, the worldly things that you are doing contrary to the will of God, and make a decision, which you can make right now, to turn from them and turn to the righteous ways of Christ. And after your belief, after you repent, you must be willing to confess Christ's name. You know, the moment we use the word confess, you are thinking of confess all my sins. Oh, Jesus Christ knows all about your sin than more than you do. It's the name of Christ. You must own up to Christ as God's Son, as your Lord and Savior. And after that, you must be baptized, immersed for the removal of your sin. Did you know that we are here to help you?